podcast Conversa Mais Pública.
Olá, bem-vindos ao Conversa Mais Pública, o podcast da Saúde Mais Pública. Antes de nos lançarmos de férias, despedimos-nos do NMIS com uma última entrevista a um orador convidado, e desta vez Isabel Soario Mataram. Médica e doutorada em Epidemiologia na área do cancro, trabalha na Organização Mundial de Saúde e é chefe adjunta da IARC, Cancer Surveillance Branch, no International Agency for Research on Cancer. Ocupa uma posição no IARC desde 2011, onde está atualmente a avaliar a variação internacional do burden de cancro e da sobrevivência, utilizando principalmente conjuntos de dados baseados na população e na forma como a política pode mitigar o burden e a crescente diferença de burden entre subpopulações. Para além das suas atividades de investigação, co-coordena vários grandes projetos. Lidera a estimativa nacional, regional e global da fração atribuível aos cancros relacionados com vários fatores de risco. Outros projetos incluem projetos de sobrevivência ao cancro, avaliação da eficácia de sistemas de saúde em países de baixa e média renda, bem como a influência de fatores de risco, como o tabagismo, a obesidade e o álcool. Co-preside ainda a avaliação global da Covid-19 sobre a prevenção e os resultados do cancro, através da revisão do impacto da pandemia sobre o comportamento, perturbações e atrasos em serviços, incluindo estratégias de mitigação nos países. A entrevista será conduzida pela Marina Pinheiro e a conversa decorrerá em inglês.
Dr. Isabel, first of all, thank you so much for accepting this interview. The first thing that we would like to ask you is about your professional career and how did you start to work in the International Agency for Research on Cancer?
So I started as a medical doctor. I studied medicine, and after studying medicine, I worked for a while as a medical doctor, as a general practitioner. But then I quickly realized the importance of public health and epidemiology. So I went then for a fellowship in the Netherlands and did a degree in epidemiology. And quickly again, I realized that I needed more studies. So I did then a doctorate at that time on cancer epidemiology. And that is then what brought me finally to the International Agency for Research on Cancer.
Okay. And can you detail about the impact of prevention on the future burden of cancer?
So the causes of cancer are multiple. There are a lot of causes of cancer that are known today. For example, major causes are then tobacco smoking. A lot of people know that. Alcohol drinking, high body weight, lack of physical activity, but also some environmental causes such as sun exposure, air pollution, just naming then a few examples. So avoiding exposure from all these risk factors may prevent about 40% of all cancer diagnoses. This means 4 in 10 cancers can be prevented. So we know today there's around 19 million cancer cases. In the future, 20 years, we'll see around 30 million cancer cases. If we can prevent or do prevention program properly, we can then at least prevent 40% of these cases or about 10 to 12 million cases in 2040, so in 20 years from now, which is really a lot of cases that we can do something about, right?
And about the alcohol consumption, can you explain how alcohol will contribute to cancer?
So alcohol has been confirmed to be linked to at least 8 cancer sites. And a lot of people don't know this. The cancer, for example, that is obvious are cancer of the oral cavity, of the aerodigestive system, but also breast cancer, for example, that is really not known among women. And globally, we have estimated that around 750,000 of global cancer cases today are linked to alcohol drinking. This is about 4% of all cases. So males are then the largest proportion of all these cancer linked to alcohol. But then also we know that the contribution of alcohol drinking to the global cancer burden is biggest in Europe, especially in Central and Eastern Europe. So in countries such as Moldova or Romania, about 8% of all the cancer there are then linked to alcohol. So again, about 8%. Cancer in such countries can be prevented if we were then able to reduce alcohol drinking in the population.
Isabel, we know that some infections are caused by virus, bacteria, and other infectious agents that may increase the risk of cancer development. What is the impact of infection on cancer development?
So that's true. So infections from viruses, bacteria, and some other infectious agents can cause cancer. And then this is very unfortunate because we know how to control infectious disease, right? From just the example of COVID. And we can do this very quickly. It means that we can do something quite simple with quite an immediate effect. So about over than 2 million of cancer cases, so this is even a larger proportion than alcohol of cancer cases are then linked to infection. This is about 13% of all cancer globally. And people are often surprised by this because they think that infections have been eradicated or cancer related to infections are no longer there. But it's still a big proportion. And then there is also an obvious pattern or differences between countries. So just giving an example, countries like the US, Canada, Australia, or some European countries, less than 5% of cancer in these countries are linked to infection. But then in some countries in sub-Saharan Africa, 50%, so half of all the cases there are linked to infection. If some countries can prevent it, why can't then other countries also do it? So there should be something that can be done. And again, we know how to do this prevention quite well.
In the last talk in Enmish, you spoke about the relationship between the Helicobacter and the cancer. Can you tell us how these are related?
So Helicobacter is a bacteria. It mainly then invades or lives in the stomach. So it is really then a chronic infection that happens since early on at childhood. And then when it happens, then really chronically causing then inflammations in the stomach, it increases then the risk of stomach cancer. About 5% of all the cancer that I mentioned before are linked to Helicobacter, so it's still big thinking of the comparison with alcohol. It's the same amount of cancer that is linked to Helicobacter, and about 90%, so a large proportion of stomach cancer are linked to Helicobacter infection. Stomach cancer has quite a poor prognosis, so again, prevention for on Helicobacter infection can really impact a big amount of cancer burden. And then actually, if we see globally, we have seen that prevalence of people who are infected by Helicobacter have decreased a lot because of improvement in the way how we preserve food today have become just a lot better. And then we saw again countries where lower income countries have a much poorer prognosis and higher prevalence of cancer related to Helicobacter, while in high income countries, northern European countries, have hardly any cancer that are linked then to Helicobacter.
I would like to ask you about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on cancer, and especially on registry operations, and how this affected the countries according to their development.
So COVID-19 has had really multiple impact to every one of us, as well as in cancer, so directly or indirectly. So we know that cancer patients have a higher excess risk of mortality if they were then to have COVID, but it also impacted cancer indirectly. So for example, the delays and disruptions during the pandemic also causes then delays and disruptions in cancer services, even cancer registration or surveillance activities. But it also has postponed screening and diagnostic activities. It also has reduced cancer treatment among patients who really then needed then treatment for cancer. So patients, it's not only from the health system, but then patients, because they were in lockdown and anxious, they also then delay themselves going then to the healthcare system for treatment or even for diagnosis. And then if we're talking about higher impact countries, we saw that the impact was really large. But then if we're looking into in terms of resources, because of a lot of the countries with lower resources are still fighting against COVID, that impact is not yet clear. So someone really then still have to look into then what is happening in terms of cancer, especially in low and middle income countries.
And knowing that tobacco smoking remains the most significant preventable cause of premature death, how the lockdowns do the COVID-19 pandemic impact the tobacco smoking behavior?
So that's a really nice question, because we just published a paper on that. So we recently did a global assessment on the impact of the pandemic on tobacco smoking in populations around the world. What we saw overall is a decrease in the proportion of people who smoke during the pandemic as compared to before the pandemic. But then we also saw that those who smoke, they smoke more than before the pandemic. This can be caused by multiple reasons. So the lockdown may have really discouraged people leaving their houses than to procure cigarettes, and therefore decrease in tobacco smoking. And then because COVID impact mainly the respiratory system, smoking may also become less desirable. People are less likely to smoke or don't want to start smoking because of it. But then on the other hand, people were also nervous and anxious about the whole COVID situation, but also about their future, about their job, a lot about their security. And because of this, it could also then impact that those who smoke, for example, smoke even more. But overall, what we really then observe, a lot of the prevention program were also cut. Everything was then directed into COVID, and that this shouldn't happen again in the future, because a lot of the things that we have done correctly in the past may become weakened just because we forgot about all the other diseases during the COVID pandemic. It should continue and it should run side by side with all the other health programs.
Teresa, thank you once again for your contribution. It was a privilege to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ouvimos Isabel Suério Mataram, da International Agency for Research on Cancer, que participou no 13º Encontro Nacional de Médicos de Saúde Pública. A entrevista foi conduzida por Marina Pinheiro, médica interna do ACES Cávado 3, Barcelos Esposende, e eu chamo-me Guilherme Queiroz, do ACES Baixo Vouga. Este podcast encontra-se disponível no website saudemaispublica.com, mas também pode ser ouvido no Spotify. Se gostaram do nosso podcast, sigam todas as novidades no nosso site, onde podem fazer subscrição da newsletter, e falem de nós no Twitter utilizando o hashtag da Saúde Mais Pública. Obrigado por nos ouvirem e vamos continuar a tornar a saúde mais pública.